there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name.
All right, welcome to Vegas Hockey Hotline, brought to you by Station Casinos and the STN app from the Brian Blessing Studios here at KSHP Las Vegas. Just a quick note before we get into our hockey discussion. Cam Talbot was the first goaltender off the ice today, so know what that means. I mean, Fleury was listed as the starter, and you know, we know that Dean Evanson went out and said, hey, we're going to lean on you, but they're not leaning on him tonight. And Cam Talbot is going to get to start for the Minnesota Wild. So looking at the number, I mean, it hasn't changed all that much. St. Louis opened at minus $1.15, where Fleury was supposed to get the start. Now down to minus $1.10. And I think
so
that
it's
was
a pick.
Yeah, and I think that was already bet down anyway. So there hasn't been, and this news just came out, so I don't think there's been that much movement. And honestly, I don't know how much movement there actually would be between Marc-Andre Fleury and Cam Talbot, because if you really liked Minnesota to begin with, you know, Fleury hasn't been fantastic.
No.
I don't know if they played great in front of him, but we know that Cam Talbot went into the – ever since that trade, all of a sudden somebody said –
he went undefeated,
Cam Talbot was like, yeah, I got to start playing while Mark's here.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens tonight. I really like Minnesota in this game.
So do I.
I think they're despite in this number, and again, I can't stress to you enough, if you look at the regular season success that St. Louis has had against Minnesota, the success that they've had in the postseason, and now you're putting up $1.15 as the number. I mean, if you look at, if you want to just, you know, be the guy that's going to go against, you know, if it looks too good to be true, it usually is. I mean, Steve, to me, this looks like the same number that we saw in the Golden State game last night, the same number we're going to see in the next Golden State game. This is begging you to take St. Louis.
Yeah, and I'm with you, Dana. I think Dean Evanson had no choice. He had, like Craig Berube did earlier in the series, when he brought Bennington into the net. I think there's always so many things a coach can do. But one of the things you can as a coach is change your goaltender. All right, because that sends the real message throughout the room that, hey, it's on you guys. It's not on him. It's like when they change a goalie in the game. It's because the guys in front of them are playing like crap. That's predominantly the reason. The other reason is obviously the guy's having a horrible off night and he just can't stop anything. So, but in Fleury's case, he has not played great. He's played okay. All right. He hasn't stolen games, which is why Minnesota brought him from Chicago to tap into that experience and the three rings and all that stuff. They got to play better. Their bottom six have to play better. They're, other than Kaprizov, they're not getting a whole lot from everybody else. You know, where's Fiala been in this series? Where Erickson Ek, Greenway? I mean, they got
Jordan Greenway's been non-existent.
Yeah, I mean, they got to get better play out of those guys. You know, and you look at all the teams that are trailing in their series tonight, okay? And we're all looking at handshakes tonight in all four games. Boston, we've talked about the Bruins, okay? Tampa Bay, to me, they're the better team. Okay,
right,
but you can't. You got to play. It's like Stamkos said after they lost the other night in Toronto. You got to play 60 minutes in the playoffs and more if necessary to win. The Leafs aren't just rolling over. Okay, Austin Matthews is starting to play like Austin Matthews. You know, the Hart Trophy finalist. By the way, what did you think of the three finalists? McDavid, Shesterkin and Matthews.
Well, I was glad to see that.
Is there anyone who should have been in that conversation who wasn't?
No, I think all the candidates. I was glad to see Shesterkin because
I don't think he wins. I think Matthews will win it. And you know, who was it? Cooper who said it's hard to score 60 goals in this league? Somebody asked Cooper about it, I think.
I don't need John Cooper to tell me that.
No,
but that's for sure.
But, you know, even
but Matthews
Cooper,
gets it.
Yeah, I think so. But, again, you know, in Edmonton tonight in L.A., I mean, yeah, Draisaitl and McDavid are scoring, but, you know, they're not getting good play from their bottom six. They're not getting good play from their D. Mike Smith continues to run hot and cold. He'll have a good period. Then he'll have a bad little stretch. And, again, what the Kings are doing without Doughty is really impressive. And you know, Tom McClellan, I'm not sure he's getting the credit he deserves for not only getting this team into the playoffs, but
they were really
forget
never,
hanging with Edmonton. They're out playing them.
They were never threatened to – there was a second. Because remember when
the 8-2 game, they kind of got run out of the building.
No. Well, running out of the building, you're how much you lose a game. Oh no, I'm not talking about the postseason. What I'm saying is they were never really threatened to not make the postseason. There was a point where they were included in the cluster of teams that Vegas could catch.
Right.
But they were the first out of that cluster.
Yeah, they realistically were not in true danger of missing. Unlike Nashville
or
and
Dallas.
Yeah.
But how does Darnell Nurse not being in this lineup? I mean, didn't the league have to do that? I mean, you have to tell me.
It was stupid.
There's people, whoever in player safety, I mean, obviously, you know, Paris, there's no way that they wanted to suspend him. But there was no way that they couldn't suspend him.
No, and they didn't suspend Jacob Trouba. After the hit on Crosby.
Well,
did you have a problem with that?
I didn't have a problem at all. Did you?
Not really. I mean, look.
No, because if the opposing player or the player that gets
hit. He's playing the puck. That was the key.
That's exactly right.
He's playing. Trouba's playing the puck. All right? And the hit on Crosby, well, not good. And to a star player in the league is not a good optic. And given Crosby's history of concussions.
See that
and Trouba's history,
but those things are not
of headhunting. You try to factor them in, and you know I'm reading them.
I think you factor those in, Steve.
No, but I'm
it doesn't
saying,
matter if you're the MVP or if you've had concussion issues.
It should be the play itself, and that's what it is. It doesn't matter what your history is, either side of it. I would agree with that. But you know, when you read on Twitter and other social media, the Ranger fans saying, "Hey, no harm, no foul." The Penguin fans are screaming, "Holy
hell!"
Well,
what do you think you're going to read, Steve?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I mean,
it just—I
don't go to Twitter for the voice of reason.
No, the whole hockey world is abuzz over one play in one period of one game, and now it does change things. Crosby was playing at a really high level, all right, and he was kind of getting Pittsburgh to that second round. You remember, the Penguins were up in this game, and the Rangers looked dead in the water. And then, you know, once Crosby came out of this game, nobody stepped up, not Malkin, not Carter, not Zucker, nobody, all right, not Gensel, not Rust, to pick up the Penguins. And to the Rangers' credit, they found a way to fight their way back and ultimately win this game. So going into tomorrow, let's see what happens. I don't know that Crosby's going to be available. And if he's not, that does put pressure on a Malkin, on a Gensel, on a Rust to step up and lead this team. Because the Rangers know if they can get this back to the Garden on Sunday, they'll have a very good shot to be on the right side of the handshake line.
Here's what having Sidney Crosby out of the lineup does. When you're facing adversity, there's nobody to lean on to let's calm this down.
Mm-hmm.
Our big boy on the ice, there's nobody there to calm the game down.
Right. His experience and factor in his skill. I mean, he was dominating in the faceoff circle every single game.
His ability.
He couldn't lose a faceoff. And the Penguins getting control of the puck was allowing them to put pressure on New York's defense and ultimately on Shesterkin. So,
and New York couldn't win a faceoff in their own zone to save their lives.
But now it makes Gerard Gallant's job a little bit easier in terms of matching up for tomorrow night in Pittsburgh. All right, if Crosby's not on the ice, he could probably go play Panarin and and Zibanejad against that line and roll the dice and maybe he can get a push out of it or maybe even come out ahead of it. And if he does, hey, the Rangers can come out and win that game six tomorrow.
Interesting.
It's really going to be interesting.
Interesting that the Penguins did not come home after that game. I guess Mike Sullivan's going to have a press conference or might be having it right now. I don't think they did within the last hour or so. They might be having it right now, but you kind of wonder what that's all about. Probably an update on Crosby or, you know, nice of him. To have a press conference to update everybody. But they stayed there where most teams would come home at right after the game. But,
they'd have got home at like 2 in the morning or something. They probably just said, you know what, the hell with them.
It's not abnormal.
We'll stay in Manhattan for the night. We'll fly home early in the morning, and then we'll have our NHL-mandated press availability, and that'll be it.
Zibanejad and Panarin also have to start showing up.
Well,
I mean, they too are absolutely non-existent for the Rangers. We talk about, and listen, I mean, depth is something we talk about quite a bit, but depth doesn't mean bottom six all the time to me. I think you win these playoff series because your superstars are the stars. You get depth scoring, and I mean your second three are doing what they're supposed to do to support your top line. But this is why you pay your superstars. And we saw without Sidney Crosby in the lineup, Pittsburgh was a completely different team. And Malkin is a completely different player when Crosby is not in the lineup. And I know he's had plenty of opportunity to be the man there when Crosby has not been in the lineup. But there was a difference. This Penguins team came to a screeching halt when Crosby was not in the lineup.
Yeah.
And they have got to find, if he's not playing in the next game, or even if he is, we have no, if he's not 100%, what does that mean? These guys have come to a screeching halt, and they are going to have to find their inspiration somewhere from somebody. Right. And I agree with you. If they don't win this next game, they will go into the next one sky high with confidence, meaning the Rangers.
Yeah. And you know, I'm looking at Edmonton. They're getting scoring from McDavid and Draisaitl. They are. They're not being kept off the score sheet. Yet they're struggling in this series because their second line guys, you know, whether it's Cassian or it doesn't matter who he throws out there, okay? They're, you know, Kane, they're just not getting it done against L.A. And L.A.'s top six guys are playing pretty well. Kempe and Kopitar and those guys, they're getting it done for the Kings. And Jonathan Quick has outplayed Mike Smith in net.
Yeah, despite what the statistics say. Statistics mean nothing. I always want to point that out because I've had this conversation last night again with people that were telling me how great Mike Smith's statistics were.
And why isn't Mike Smith going on to the next round with his team yet?
Well,
There you go.
still might be, but
yeah.
But if you look at depth, and we focus so much on Connor McDavid, and we focus so much on Leon Draisaitl, but even that third line for Edmonton, you know, there was a time where Ryan Nugent-Hopkins was
and Yamamoto
was really relied on, and Puljujärvi, and I mean guys that
he's a scratch today, by the way. Puljujärvi's not playing tonight.
Okay, so these are...
He's in the press box.
These are guys in the past that you would rely on to give you that sort of secondary scoring.
They thought they were built with enough depth to win in the playoffs. And we're seeing... And, you know, Ken Holland, who's a very good hockey guy, I think we'll all admit to that, he's going to have to make some very tough decisions if they get beat tonight. And they're home tomorrow. They got to figure something out because I'll tell you what, their fan base is not going to find this acceptable with yet another first-round exit. Okay?
Well, even more important to that fact, when do we get to the point if they are ousted, or even if they're ousted in the second round, when is it going to get to the point where Connor McDavid's going to say this is unacceptable?
He's kind of hinted at it at times already. Okay? And I think that's when they brought Evander Kane on board, I think normally McDavid might not have been thrilled about the idea, but I think he saw it as, okay, at least they're trying to make us better. Give us a little bit more grit, a little more scoring, and yeah, maybe some shenanigans as well, but we'll live with that. You know, the room will keep him under control, unlike in Buffalo or Winnipeg or even San Jose. All right, but he hasn't been a factor in this series, has he? Has Evander Kane really come up big for the Oilers? Not particularly.
Well, I mean, he's got, 6 points in his last five games.
But
I mean, that's when you're playing on that top line. I mean, that works.
You're supposed to, yeah. You're supposed
it's really
to
Yama,
contribute.
Yamamoto.
Noto and Nugent Hopkins, you're right, and Cassian to a degree.
But look, they brought in Zach Hyman.
Yes.
A guy that they thought was going to be. I mean, give Edmonton credit, right, Steve?
Yeah.
I mean, outside of goaltending, because obviously they believed in Mike Smith.
Right. Well, they really couldn't find anyone who fit their budget who wanted to come play.
But
for
at
them.
The same time, though, that didn't. And I think Vegas, to an extent, thought the same thing about Robin Leonard. We're a team that's going to control the puck the majority of the time.
Mm-hmm.
We only need our goaltender to be good.
Right. Make the first save and we'll get the puck out of the end.
We're never going to be a team that's going to rely on our goaltender to make 35 to 40 saves a night to get a W.
Against most teams, correct.
Against most teams during the regular season. So that's right. Kind of their thinking. Yeah. Hey, look, we got all this talent. If we're winning the Corsi battle on a nightly basis, we're not asking our netminder to do very much.
Is that maybe, Dana, part of the problem right now in hockey? That teams are relying so much on their analytical departments to come up with the right formulas that they're maybe missing the mark when it comes to the essentials, the basics of playing the game the right way? You know,
yeah. I mean, Steve, don't you I'm think, just, though, I, that kind of gets... I, we've
I'm
seen coaches make moves to try to, I mean, we saw Bruce Cassidy make moves during the regular season to try to get more depth scoring. We broke up the perfection line for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, I think coaches are wheeling and dealing the way that they want to. Maybe teams are being put together because of analytics, but we've seen, you know, I mean, we've seen coaches do what they want.
I don't know if you're an analytics guy or not. I know Brian hated it.
Somewhere in the between. There's a place for
it,
but it's not.
I'm old school. Brian was old school. We both thought it was an overrated component of building a team and maintaining one. But yet every NHL team has a hockey analytics department. Some lean on them more than others.
But analytics is such a wide umbrella.
Yes, it is.
I don't think it covers, when you're talking about importance, I don't think it covers every single statistic.
No, it goes beyond Corsi or any of the other major analytic components. It does. I will give you that.
Those things tell me something.
Right.
I like numbers that will add on to what I think.
Right.
You know, I mean, and we never had those growing up, so we never knew what we were missing.
There was no such thing as projected goals, you know,
I mean, like, for instance, I don't know, like in baseball, we'd take the war statistic.
Right.
I kind of like that. I kind of like it. It just depends on what you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
I don't need an algorithm for a statistic that is longer than what I use for handicapping.
Okay.
I mean, I don't need something that goes to line two.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of these analytics go there. And if you're down with it, that's fine. But there's also something, and taking it back to handicapping, and we'll talk to Alex B. Smith about this, there is an emotional, mental component to not only to handicapping, but also to coaching. And if I look a man in the eye, and he tells me I'm not coming out of the game, or I want to start, or I'm hurt, there's nothing I'm going to my analytics guy about to make sure that choice is right, because I can see I'm using my intuition to look at you in the eye and know whether or not you're my guy right now.
Right.
That has nothing to do with analytics.
Gerard Gallant coaches that way. And many guys in this league coach that way. Okay? Barry Trotz coaches that way. He looks at guy. He talks to the guy. He says, can you go? Adam Pellick says, yeah, I don't know how much I'll give you, but I'll give you what I got. And Barry makes his decision to keep him in or out of the lineup. Okay? some other younger coaches lean more on the numbers, on the hard data. And they talk to their analytics people on a daily basis. They get their stuff in their email, and they look at it, and they digest it, and they use it accordingly. You know, baseball, every sport's that way. You know, there isn't a sport that doesn't have analytics involved in it today.
I've always thought there's a place for it. It goes back to wagering, doesn't it, Steve? I mean, the old room with too much information over, you know, at the dust.
Paralysis by analysis.
You know, and it's like, okay, how do you decipher what you're looking at? And most of the time you decipher what you're looking at by just kind of walking away from what you're looking at and saying, okay, right, these are my core things that I think really matter on a game-to-game basis. But, you know, I mean, if you want to look at analytics, they'll tell you the Edmonton Oilers are getting nothing from their blue line. Right. They haven't gotten anything from their blue line all year long.
But I don't need numbers to tell me that.
I don't need numbers to tell me that. I can say for certain that we're not getting anything out of Cody Ceci. We're not getting anything out of Brett Kulak. Duncan Keith is non-existent. I mean, these are all – they're on there.
Yeah.
They're there to – play as well as they can defensively and rack up the assists, which
again,
that's what they've done
this
year.
The matchups usually dictate how well you play. Certain teams, those guys are effective. Against L.A., right now they're not.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, we're going to take a short break. Alex B. Smith, NHL handicapper, will be on with us, and we'll see how he attacks the NHL playoffs.
STN Sports is the only sports betting app you need this season. STN Sports has it all. In-play betting, mobile parlay cards, the Play Plus card to fund and withdraw from anywhere in Nevada, and up to a $100 new sign-up bonus. STN Sports even lets you earn rewards for every bet. Safe and easy betting from your phone or tablet. Go to StationCasinoSports.com or sign up at any Station Casino or Wildfire. Complete details available at all sportsbooks.
Oasis Bar and Grill at 4955 South Decatur near the corner of Trop has been totally renovated. It features incredible food with a kitchen that's open 24/7. Gaming promotions every month. There are cashback drawings for loyal players. The banquet room is spacious and a great venue for any type of function. Sports fans won't miss any of the action with HD TVs throughout the property. Oasis is a great place to meet and make new friends. The staff is fun and engaging. Get in on the fun with great food, great drink, and gaming promotions at Oasis Bar and Grill, 4955 South Dakota.
Experience the thrill of the grill. John Smith Subs is home of the famous Steak Bomb and other premium deli subs with grilled-to-order marinated sirloin steak, grilled chicken, farm-fresh veggies, and delicious bread baked daily. Our subs are making a name for themselves with quality and flavor. Add an order of piping hot French fries, and you have a meal you can't get anyplace else. Experience the thrill of the grill at John Smith Subs. Visit johnsmithsubs.com to find a location near you.
Hey, Golden Knights fans, I'm attorney Adam Kuttner. I'm proud to be an official partner of the Vegas Golden Knights. We're giving you the chance to play at home, along with the Golden Knights, to win home game tickets through our Power Play giveaway. Each time the Golden Knights are on a Power Play, we'll pick one of my Twitter followers who tags me on Twitter with the hashtag AdamKuttnerPowerPlay. And when the Golden Knights score, that lucky fan wins tickets to the Fortress. So make sure to follow me on Twitter. Go Knights, go!
Calling all Vegas Golden Knights superfans for the Terribles Game Day Giveaway. During all of Vegas Golden Knights home games, visit any participating Terribles location, make a qualifying purchase, get a scratch card, enter on the Terribles app, and you could win a $1,000 Golden Knights shopping spree! Best yet, one lucky customer will win this prize every day the Vegas Golden Knights have a home game. Terribles Game Day Giveaway. It's only at Terribles. Visit Terribles.com for more details.
Oasis Bar and Grill at 4955 South Decatur near the corner of Trop has been totally renovated. It features incredible food with a kitchen that's open 24/7. Gaming promotions every month. There are cashback drawings for loyal players. The banquet room is spacious and a great venue for any type of function. Sports fans won't miss any of the action with HD TVs throughout the property. Oasis is a great place to meet and make new friends. The staff is fun and engaging. Get in on the fun with great food, great drink, and gaming promotions at Oasis Bar and Grill, 4955 South Decatur.
STN Sports is the only sports betting app you need this season. STN Sports has it all. In-play betting, mobile parlay cards, the Play Plus card to fund and withdraw from anywhere in Nevada, and up to a $100 new sign-up bonus. STN Sports even lets you earn rewards for every bet. Safe and easy betting from your phone or tablet. Go to StationCasinosports.com or sign up at any Station Casino or Wildfire. Complete details available at all sportsbooks.
Years old.
Yep.
And this is what you're crushing.
Oh yeah.
Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye. I Want You. One of the greatest songs ever.
I don't know if I'd have that on my top five.
That's in my top.
Well, I go back a little further than you.
This is not sitting next to my Ride to Lightning.
And I love Marvin Gaye is as cool as it gets, but yeah.
Not coming up next to Master
of
Puppets.
I was expecting, like...
I know.
I don't know what a 19-year-old kid listens to today, but...
He's a little different. That's why he fits in well.
Yeah. Well, that's good. He's an old school guy.
He is. Welcome,
we love him.
Welcome back to Vegas Hockey Hotline, brought to you by Station Casinos and the STN app. From the Brian Blessing Studio here in Las Vegas, KSHP 1400. Thank you for joining us. And I mean, these shows go by so quick. I mean, we're talking about... You know, ticket prices, too, that I wanted to bring up. And, I mean, it's pretty reasonable getting into these playoff games. But, you know, if the Golden Knights were involved, we wouldn't be talking about $80 ticket prices just to get into these
places. Were down 3-2 in the series.
Well, of course, we were talking, too, about Vivid tickets.
Right. But it's like a StubHub.
Right. So it's all about demand. It's not what the team is charging.
No, it's definitely not the team. Team has nothing to do with it.
No, it's
so I'm looking at the lines for tonight.
Okay. We're
gonna have Alex on in a second. You know, St. Louis is -115. Edmonton, -145 on the road at LA. Interesting.
Well, I've been all over the Kings.
Tampa Bay -140 against the Leafs. Bruins -1.25 against Carolina in Boston. This is from the STN app. Where everybody
it's the only app that matters.
Where you should be on and getting good numbers and good service, too. I use it for horse racing.
Those guys are fantastic. I mean, anytime you ever need anything, I've had to call them up a couple times because my account got locked because I'm just, you know, crushing them too much. But, you know, they've been always – I never. Yeah. Every time I think I'm going to get a laugh out of you, too, I mean, I get nothing. You're like, yeah, man, you're the man. Okay, let's bring on Alex B. Smith, longtime friend and friend of the show, and we've done a million things together. Alex, thank you so much for your time. And I guess my first question is, you know, I'm looking at numbers, and first of all, you know Talbot starting tonight. But even before Talbot was the first off at practice – It was a curious number to me that St. Louis was $1.10, $1.15 at home against a team that they've owned in the postseason, they owned in the regular season, and now they're hanging $1.10. That was a head scratcher to me.
Yeah, I was stunned by that too. And you know, I was leaning toward Minnesota in this spot anyway. I thought Minnesota was going to win this in six games, but obviously, the class they had now that you know got their backs against the wall. And there's been a lot of love from Minnesota. And it's interesting because usually during the regular season, you know, we saw them as heavy home favorites. And then you saw them kind of reasonably priced, if not getting some value on the road. Like you said, the fact that St. Louis, the track record that they have against them, I was stunned to see this too. But I'm like I said, might be seeing, two-way action for sure. I like Minnesota in the spot tonight at $1.05. Like I say, shop around getting five as low as even money. But, it's been a tight series, a back-and-forth series, and now it's Cam Talbot's job to try to save the Wild season.
Yeah, what do you think about that? I mean, is that a curious move to you? I mean, they went out and got Marc-Andre Fleury, but Steve and I have both talked about how We didn't think he's been always on top of his game, and maybe not what they envision as a goaltender that would steal games for him, for them. But now you have Talbot coming in that hasn't played in a long time, and now your season is kind of resting on his shoulders. Is it a curious move to you, or maybe they waited one game too long to play him?
Yeah, it's possible they might have waited a game too late. But, you know, Fleury, I mean, the guy's 37 years old, and you keep in mind – the workload that he had in the first half of the season playing with Chicago, that defense, a horrible defense in front of him, he had to make a lot of big saves. So, you know, he kind of looked at times once he came to the Wild, he gave up some soft goals and kind of seemed at times like maybe he's, you know, a bit overworked for a regular season. And, you know, Talbot looked sharp in some of his last starts, especially once Fleury got to Minnesota. It seems like Talbot kind of elevated his game a little bit. Like I said, it's been a couple of weeks since he's played. So we'll see if he's ready for the challenge. Yeah. You know, Dean Evason has made a lot of key moves throughout the year. One thing I thought was kind of shocking was, you know, the guys he chose to scratch Nick Bjugstad tonight. Kevin Fiala is a guy that really just been kind of super quiet. I mean, the only noise he's really made this series has been – yeah, has been, you know, with penalties. He's got 14 minutes of penalties. He's only got 3 points in five games. So I think maybe that would have been the shakeup I had. But, you know, obviously most coaches, when you look to shake the team up, be it in a game or a series, you kind of switch your goalie out. So, you know, give Fleury a rest and see what Talbot can do.
Alex, of the seven remaining series here in the first round, are you surprised that there's a team or two that are still around or a team that hasn't already put away their opponent?
Well, Washington for sure is the team.
Yes.
I thought Washington.
Oh. Uh-oh.
I'm sorry, we were losing you for a second. Alex, can you hear us?
Yeah, you guys hear me?
You were talking about the Capitals. Go ahead.
So the Capitals are a team I thought for sure, especially the way that they kind of just went up and down this year. I thought Florida was just going to run them over and sweep them. I bet Florida to get the sweep the same way I did Colorado to get the sweep. Avalanche took care of business, but Florida, I mean, it's been a real back-and-forth series. And, you know, we saw it with last night. Washington looked like they were going to, you know, roll through, got three goals, you know, to start that game off, and then they give up five unanswered. So that's been a team that has really shocked me. But other than that, I really kind of picked every series to go six or seven games. So it hasn't been too shocking. It's been kind of this just up and down kind of series. And now, you know, with the offense increase, which I kind of predicted going into the postseason because of how condensed the schedule had been, teams just seemed a little bit more fatigued. There wasn't that much time in between the end of the season and the start of the playoffs. I think that along with the penalty changes increased penalty calls, the reason why we're seeing higher scoring. So that's kind of left some teams, you know, with a fighting chance because the defense just hasn't really been that solid like we normally see during the postseason.
Yeah, let's go into this back into the Carolina-Boston series. It looks like Ranta and Swayman tonight, of course. I mean, what – you know, look, Alex, you and I have done stuff together all year, and we were doing videos together. And you've heard me say a million times about the lack of depth on Boston, how much I didn't trust their goaltending. It got better there for a long time. In fact, since February, they've been fantastic for sure. But now that the postseason is here and now that they're playing quality opponents in Carolina on a nightly basis, I see what I saw back in October and November again, where if you're not getting scoring from your top line or your top six at least, I mean, there's nothing there, and you're certainly looking at a goaltender right now in Swayman who's, you know, hot now. But neither of these guys really took the reins. There was a split second where we wondered why Bruce Cassidy didn't come out and say, hey, look, Swayman, you're my number one guy. And that didn't ultimately happen. And the reason for that was he didn't believe it like everybody else. And I think we're seeing that in the postseason. I don't know if Boston's got enough on it consistently. They seem to play better at home against Carolina. I don't know what happens in that short trip between the arenas, but the fact remains, I just don't feel good where Boston is right now, not only in goal, but how they're playing in front of their netminder.
Yeah, you know, and like you said, the depth has been the moral of the story in this series. You look at Carolina, they've got 11 different players with a goal, Boston only having seven. So like I said, that has told the tale of the story. And the goaltending, like I said, they've been kind of, you know, back and forth with Allmark and Swayman, which that's fine in the regular season. But like you said, at some point late in the year and going into the postseason, you want one of those two guys to emerge as the clear-cut starter. When you have that kind of an issue, it's cause for concern, obviously. Now, at the same time, at least they're prepared for, you know, any kind of issue where on the flip side of Carolina, they've been riding Frederick Anderson all year. Ronta, you know, has to come in because Anderson gets hurt. Ronta, who seems to be always injured, ends up getting banged up, and so then they had to go to Kochekov, who had, two solid games, being a rookie, just coming out of nowhere. So that's kept them afloat as well. So, you want to have two solid goalies, but like I said, you want somebody to kind of emerge and take the reins. But I still trust in Boston's just winning pedigree as well. And I don't think they're going to make it to a cup final or win the cup. But in this series, in Carolina, they're the better team. They've been the better team in the series. But I just still believe in crunch time, games like tonight and going into a game seven, that winning pedigree and those guys for Boston with Marchand, Bergeron, Pasternak, I trust in them, and I would not be shocked one bit if Boston gets the win tonight and extends it to a seventh game.
I wouldn't be shocked either, but and again, we go back to the last game. If you have Brad Marchand beat Ranta early on, the tone changes. And one of the things that we never talk about in this postseason is the importance of getting that first goal. Yeah, yes, I know that, I know Tampa, relax. But other than that, getting that first goal and making the other team play catch up seems to be the key in most of these series. And I just wonder, if Boston got out to that early lead, which they've had their chances, home and road, they just have not been able to bury their chances on the road. It does that game change? And if it does, then you have to feel good about Boston's chances about winning tonight and then going back to Carolina and making it a very competitive game and a place that they just have not been competitive.
Yeah, and I think, too, we're seeing a change within the series. And that's something, you have to be flexible with, obviously, betting any sport, but especially the postseason is a very live, active thing in the sense of where, we talk about, like I said, the higher scoring overall, but like I said, that first goal meaning a lot. We saw that in the first couple of games throughout many series. Then you look at last night, you saw more of a kind of rally scoring kind of a deal, like I said, with the Washington-Florida series, Pittsburgh-New York. I think we're going to start to see that where maybe getting that first goal, it's not the end-all, be-all. You're not out of it if you've given up the first goal. So that's the thing. The test of resiliency is what's going to be the key in a lot of these series now as they head to these sixth and seventh games, potentially. And like I said, that's where I think Boston's key. I think that's the intangible you can't see on paper with the Bruins and what keeps them alive in the series. If it wasn't for that, Carolina probably would have finished this one off by now.
You made a good point because Dallas took a 1-0 lead and Calgary never got rattled and they took the game over and eventually pulled away. Hey, Alex, I want to ask you about this Rangers-Penguins series going into Game 6 tomorrow at Pittsburgh. Not sure that Crosby's going to play. Assuming he doesn't, the Rangers are an early 6-5 favorite. Penguins are even money. If you're betting this game,
that's such a New York thing. 6-5 favorite.
What are you?
That's the way we used to bet illegally in high school. Hey, 6-5.
Right.
I mean, what does that mean?
Anyway, the Rangers are -120. How's that? Anyway, if you're handicapping this game from the Pittsburgh side of it without Crosby, are you confident to take the Penguins at home as a very small dog? And it could be a bigger dog as we get closer to puck drop.
I would say yes. Obviously Crosby's absence is always going to be big. He's one of the stars, leaders of that team for quite some time. But I think there's a difference between losing him in the middle of the game, like what happened in Game 5, and preparing for a game without him.
Mm-hmm.
If you look back over the years, especially during the regular season, there's plenty of times we talked about, Crosby's out or Evgeny Malkin's out. They've had history of injuries, and it's unfortunate. Crosby, it would look like to be a possible headshot. If it is, this would be his fourth or fifth concussion in his career. So,
yes.
Those things, this is a team that has been deep for so long. They've won for many years, and they've been able to do that with other guys stepping up. Look at Jake Guentzel, the way he's played with 7 goals and an assist on this series. You know, you have veteran guys like Jeff Carter in that lineup for a reason. So I think, you know, the Penguins, in 1 or 2 games, they can weather the storm without 87 in the lineup. Now, moving forward to the next round, it could be a different story. But this has been a series, and this has been a series that really I personally have been attacking more with live betting than I have with pregame wages, because, like I said, we've just been seeing this kind of just furious pace back and forth. It's been, for me, I think, as a fan, it's been the most exciting series to watch so far in this postseason. So, and Louis Domingue, the way he's emerged, out of nowhere with Smith going down, it's been a lot of fun. And Pittsburgh has found ways time and time again. I didn't even think the Rangers would the Penguins would get to the postseason this year. They have found ways to be resilient and push forward. That's what they do, and I think they'll be able to do that in the series as well.
From a Rangers perspective, then, if you're going to bet the Rangers, are you confident enough that they've got a feel for how to beat Domingue at this point? Or are they still trying to probe and figure out a way to get pucks past this guy?
No, the offense, I think the offense, that 3-goal burst we saw last game, that's why they were able to kind of come alive. I think the offense, you know, and I said that going into the series, that offense is going to wake up in due time. And now the thing is, you know, Shesterkin, who seemed to be kind of the X factor at the beginning of the series, well, now he's had a couple of rough starts. I think, your concern now is whether he can get in the form. It's not so much the offense. I think that's going to be the main question. Can Shesterkin step up and steal a game for these guys? Because the offense is now starting to come alive. And so that's, I think, the bigger question for New York than their offense.
Yeah, he hasn't looked like a Hart Trophy finalist, has he?
No, he has not. I mean, he's deserving of being a finalist of what he did for that team during the regular season.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, obviously it looked pretty bad if he does end up, you know, losing in the series and get bounced the first round. And, here he is, possible MVP. Didn't really step up when it was needed.
Yeah, we're talking to Alex B. Smith, co-host on the Ice Guys with Ian Cameron. And look, you're talking about this Rangers-Pittsburgh series. I mean, again, these numbers that pop up, minus $1.26 open, and this is a consensus number, but right around there. I mean, you see minus $1.30 at some books, minus $1.25. I mean, this number suggests to me that they are anticipating Crosby not playing.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. This is one of those gut feel things. Like I said, I don't think Crosby being out is going to be the end all be all for Pittsburgh, because I think the Rangers have more question marks on the back end than the front end. Yes. So you can make a case for either side, and I guess that's kind of what the books are saying too, with this price being at a near pick 'em range.
Yeah, it's just minus $1.26, $1.25 on the road. And normally, and going back to Domingue, I mean, he kind of got buried, you know. I mean, anybody who gets thrown through the Arizona organization kind of gets buried at some point. But, I mean, he's a guy that, hey, look, it really comes down to if he's playing with good teams, he plays pretty well. If he's not, he's horrific. And his numbers obviously are skewed towards being below average just because of where he's played. But, you know, I mean, we saw him in Tampa Bay. He played pretty well. This is not something that is surprising that he can come in and do a good job for the Penguins.
Yeah. It's not that he's just some kind of fringe goalie. He's just an AHL type. This guy's really never had, a full shot wherever he's been. Like I said, he's played with some bad teams and it's reflected in his numbers. But when he's with good teams, and that you could say that for probably, 75% of the goalies in the league, when you have better defense and a better team in front of you, you play well, you get wins on your record, and you get, more chances to play. Domingue's emergence is not, the most shocking thing ever, obviously. And the fact that, Pittsburgh had question marks going into the season with a goal. Obviously, Tristan Jarry kind of had a great bounce back year before he goes down to injury. So, Domingue now getting a chance to shine and, see how far he can carry that team.
Yeah, last question for me, Alex. I mean, you're there in Minnesota. Obviously, you're pretty close to the Wild organization. You're in Chicago, but you follow both teams pretty close. I mean, is there a chance that DeBrincat gets moved in the offseason? There's been some rumblings that potentially is one of the moves that they're looking at, and that certainly would help them from a cap standpoint.
I don't think that, especially after Patrick Kane at the end of the season came out and said one of the things that would be a key for him to stick around would be if DeBrincat's still there. And it wouldn't make any sense for the Hawks to move him. I get the cap issues that they have, but, you know, he's the future right now. I mean, you know, Kane, yes, you know, and Taves, they've only got a few years left, especially Taves. I mean, you know, the way he kind of fell off. You can't move a guy like DeBrincat. DeBrincat is what you have to build on going forward with that team, and you're gonna have to find other ways to kind of deal with the cap situation. So I don't think that is the case. And obviously, they're gonna be looking for a coach. They're gonna make a decision sometime in July. Who's the next coach? I feel like, you know, obviously they need to go with an offensive-minded guy to work with Kane and DeBrincat. Kirby Doc, let him get back into the fold offensively. Your answer to that would be no.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's interesting. It's if they don't use him, I don't know what pieces they use to build or what pieces they lose. But every team has these little subplots. It's very interesting, yes, even if they don't make the postseason. Alex, tell everybody where they can get your work, which is always right on, always fantastic, and very detailed.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at AXMSports. You can catch me on the Ice Guys. Which that airs every day on the Ice Guys YouTube channel and everywhere you can find podcast streaming.
You were a very busy man, and we appreciate you making some time for the show.
Yes.
Thank you, Alex. No problem. Thanks, guys, for having me.
All right, there he goes, Alex B. Smith. That does it for another day in Vegas Hockey Hotline. We'd like to thank Ian Cameron, Alan Snell, and Alex B. Smith for coming on. We also want to thank Station Casinos for sponsoring the show, along with the STN app. Thanks to the folks up there. Chuck Esposito has been jumped right on board when we needed some help to keep this thing on the air, so we want to thank him as well. And you know, Steve, just off the top of your head, I mean, what's the one team that you think tonight is the go-on team from a financial standpoint?
Tampa. I think they take Game 7 back to Toronto.
Well, you and the rest of the public think that as well.
I'm just saying. They're the two-time defending champs. They're not going down quietly.
Yeah, I just, to me, and I know Vasilevsky's record coming off a loss, just I don't think, and this is really started from the first game against the Pittsburgh Penguins, where I thought, where is this next level? This next level where they are saying, we're the champs, and we have another level, another gear that you don't have. So for that reason, I'm on Toronto. Anyway, thanks for joining us today. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. For Chris the Moose Johnson behind the controls, Steve Karp, I'm Dana Lane. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow.
Where players dance with skates a flash, the home team trails behind. But they grab the puck and go bursting up, and they're down across the line. They storm the trees like bumblebees. They travel like a burning flame. We see them slide the puck inside. It's a 1-1 hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game. The best game you can name, and the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Take me where hockey players face off down the rink, and the Stanley Cup is all filled up for the champs who win the drink. Now the final flick of the hockey stick and the one gigantic scream. The puck is in, the Canadians win the good old hockey game. Is the best game you can name, and the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name, and the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name, and the best game you can name is the good